Thank you. you, Brother Jeff. Thank you so much. And I don't know if it's going to be a treat. I just want to preach the Word of God this morning. And it doesn't matter if it's a treat or not. It's the Word of God.
Right.
And I love missions conferences, and I love this church. And appreciate so much that you love what you heard today already by getting the gospel around the world, New Zealand, and to the Jewish people, and to the Muslim and Buddhist and Hindu people, if you were here this morning for the Sunday school hour. And I enjoyed the singing. I sure did. The songs were beautifully done and just spoke to my heart. And so I'm glad to be in the Lord's house here this morning. I won't be long this morning. Tonight probably will be a little longer because God's touched my heart with a message for our nation.
Amen.
Tonight from Isaiah chapters 1 through 6. I'm not going to preach all those chapters every verse, but I'm going to tell you what, it's a somber message when you consider what God had in mind. So tonight, we'll talk about that and end with God's call, which is a missions call. It was a call to somebody to serve. Who will go for me? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Well, if you will turn your Bibles this morning, I promise you, it's not going to be long this morning by design Sunday morning, just to want to talk to you about a message from the Word of God. 2 Kings chapter 7, and I'm sure you've heard this story before. I'd like to just kind of go over it with you in a missions context. 2 Kings chapter 7, and we'll read the first few verses and just explain the situation. You're standing for the Word of God, as is your custom, and we'll do that and read the first five verses anyway. We'll just read those. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit here until we die? If we say we'll enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit here, we will die. We die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. But if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. When they were coming to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a voice of chariots and the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. And then we'll talk about the lepers and what they did later. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this story from your word. Now we realize that this story certainly is historical. It did happen. The people of Samaria were besieged by the Syrian army and suffered greatly. And yet, Lord, there's a lesson here, a timeless lesson about our responsibility. First of all, to come to eternal life, and then secondly, to make that great gospel message known around the world. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and let's consider that the Syrian army came to the city of Samaria and besieged it, and the famine got so bad because the people had no way to get something to eat that they were even, and you can read about it at the end of chapter 6, women were sacrificing and boiling their little children and sharing around just to have something to eat, a horrible time. They were eating dung. They were eating the head of a horse. Everything was for sale because the people were so starving. And, of course, outside were the lepers. And the lepers in the Scripture, we see them throughout the Old and New Testament. They were the outcasts of the Scripture. They were the outcasts of society back in those days. If you found yourself a leper, you were contagious. And so you had to live on the outskirts of the city. And what they would do is they would take you from your home and you would go live in near the garbage dump. And by the way, I'm in many countries today, as are some of these other missionaries, and whole hosts of people visit the garbage dumps. I've seen it in many places. We are so blessed, as has been said by several of you, that we have so much. And, you know, I hate to see food wasted. I really do. I hate to see what even typical restaurants throw out. And, you know, I'm not telling you how to eat every morsel on your plate, but it's hard for me. It really is when I see people picking through the dumps everywhere I go.
That's
because
right.
That's all they have to eat. Now, back in Jesus' day and in the time of the Old Testament, The lepers could not be supported. They could not work. They could not function in society. And so the best place they could be was to live out near the garbage dump, where at least people would dump some things that they wouldn't eat, and they would be edible. You know, so they were the dogs. They were the outcasts of society because leprosy was such a fearsome disease. Now, I had the fortune, I believe it's a fortune, you might say misfortune, of growing up as a little boy in the heart of the jungle of Africa, the Belgian Congo. I don't talk a lot about it here. I mostly talk about the missionary work that I do and have been doing for the last many years. But when I was small, like your son, that's where my parents were. And if you put your finger in the heart of Africa, that's where I live, just a few miles from the equator. It's a country called the Democratic Republic of the Congo now. I've since visited there and preached there. But back when I was little, my parents were missionaries to the Pygmies. Now, the Pygmies were the tribes of Africa that were very, very little. A male Pygmy, fully grown, could be this big, and his wife smaller. And they're real people, and they were living in the deepest jungles of Africa because they were afraid of the bigger tribes, who would not only wage war on them, kill them, and also eat them. Yes, cannibalism was alive and well just over about 100 years or so ago, and even more recently than that in Africa, as well as some of the islands of the East Indies and other places. They did practice cannibalism. And so these little pygmies would go to the farthest part of the forest, the dark part of the forest, because they were afraid of the other tribes. And that was historically why they were living there. At the time my parents were there in the 50s and I was there, we did not know that there was cannibalism being practiced at that time. But that was the history. That's why they were there. And my father and mother were burdened to go to that part of Africa and reach them. So we grew up as a boy for several years before violence erupted and we had to flee for our lives and leave Africa. We grew up in the jungle. And we knew what it was like to hear leopards roar at night. We knew what it was like to have our home full of critters. My dad built the house out of bricks, but he wasn't a brick mason. There were ways that things could get in. Tarantulas big as your hand. You'd hear them drop from the ceiling, you know, boom, on your table and wake you up. We counted them in the 4 years that we lived in the jungle house, 13 poisonous black or green mamba snakes that coiled themselves, found their way in and coiled themselves around. I remember my dad with a machete killing those, as well as others out in the yard and things like that. We had snakes, and we had malaria, and many times I had fevers of over 103 to 105, and there was no doctor you could run to, there was no medicine you could have, you just had to tough it out, and you had convulsions, and you just sweated until the convulsions stopped, and you got well again, and malaria is a very dangerous disease even to this day. One of the things that we had was what we call driver ants, and what they call driver ants, that go through the jungle floor in a column about like this. They're each about a half an inch wide or long, and they're fearsome ants. They have these big jaws and they tear flesh. And many times I would go up to the end of my driveway and watch a column of these ants pass through the driveway, and being an inquisitive little boy, sometimes I would take a grasshopper, take the wings off and flick it over there and watch the ants just tear it up. And big things, you could do the same, because the ants were known, they would eat everything in their path. And they simply would clean out the jungle floor as they went from one, and they would continually go for months. And so I can recall some interesting things from Africa, but one of the things that I recall was lepers. I remember that seeing lepers go to the witch doctor, walking down the road, and watch them come back from the witch doctor, thinking that they had something to cure them. Now, the leprosy in Africa in the days in which we live is slightly different from this leprosy, but let me tell you about it, and there are some similarities. What happens is lepers have a disease that causes the nerves in their extremities to go dead. So the extremities in their fingers, their noses, their ears, their toes, they couldn't feel anything. No pain. So if they were walking along and kicked something and it gouged their foot, they wouldn't know it because there was no pain unless they looked down and saw blood coming out. Women would be cooking as they always did over the fires. They'd be moving coals around, not know that they were burning up their fingers, their extremities. And gangrene, of course, would set in, extremities would drop off. And so when you saw lepers in Africa without noses and ears, men would be walking through the hunting, and the jungle grasses are like razor blades there, and they'd be walking around cutting themselves, bleeding profusely, gangrene, poison, settle in. And so lepers in Africa were missing things. You'd see them, they didn't have a nose, they didn't have ears, they had nubs and toes, and that's how you knew they were a leper, because they had no feeling. And so there are some things about leprosy that I think we can apply when we understand what a leper is and the horrible affliction that leprosy has. So let's look at a few of those things. These lepers, first of all, we understand that there was no feeling. They couldn't relate to pain. Now sometimes we think pain is a bad thing. But you know, if you didn't have pain, you would not know that something was afflicting you and something was possibly causing great damage to you. And so one of the things we understand about leprosy is it removes feeling. And you know, leprosy is a real picture of sin in the Word of God. Sin removes feeling. You get desensitized to it. Well, you know the first time that you look at something and you shouldn't be looking at it, and yet over time you get desensitized. And almost every sin will affect you that way. Look with me at the New Testament, at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, and we see the Word of God says here in Ephesians 4, 19. Let's read from verse 17. Paul is urging us as believers. He says, "This I say in verse 17, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." And when the reason people can do some of the heinous things like chopping people's heads off, like parading around in a gay pride parade, things, and I could go on and on and on, things that are being done in our world today is because they're past feeling. They no longer really feel like there's anything wrong with the things that they're doing. Right. They do it brazenly, they do it openly, and I want to say that in the United States of America, we have come to the place where we're past feeling.
Yes.
Pornography doesn't bother most people anymore.
That's right.
Gay marriage is something that kids learn in school to live with. It's part of life. It doesn't assault our senses anymore. Fornication, adultery, those aren't things that bother us anymore. We're past feeling. And quite honestly, one who is walking in sin and being even here believers are being urged to have a sensitive expression towards sin. Don't get used to sin. Don't think lightly of sin, is what he's saying here. And a leper is a picture of someone who has been desensitized to pain. And a spiritual leper is someone who's been desensitized to sin. The feeling is removed. Secondly, there's decay. I mentioned to you the lepers that I used to see there in the jungles going to see the witch doctor. Their extremities would drop off. They just rot off. And they decay. And it's very contagious. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Warns, and young people, you need to listen to this especially. It says, "Bad company corrupts good morals." You can be raised in a home where you have good and loving authority, and the rules are for your protection and benefit. But it says here, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." And really, that word communication means the company, the people that are talking to you, the people that are communicating and spending time with you. If you can be raised in all the right rules and atmosphere, but if you're hanging around people that are using foul language and doing things against what they should be doing, that's going to rub off upon you. And so we need to flee fornication, the Word of God says. We need to flee youthfulness. We need to be careful not to keep company with those who are engaging in vile habits. And you know, now with the window of the internet, sometimes we don't have to be in their presence to be feeding off of things that we know cause decay and things that are contagious and things that spread. And so the leper in Jesus' day, you recognize many times Jesus would go and be talked to by lepers, be shouted at, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And you recognize they had to hold their hands over their mouth and shout, "Unclean, unclean." Now again, different type of leprosy back in the days of the Bible days and what I've described there in Africa. But there are many similarities to it. And they knew that they were contagious, and they had to warn the public. It was the law. They had to shout, "Unclean, unclean." And you know, we need to listen to the warnings that the Scripture gives to us, that there are certain things that are unclean. It doesn't matter if society says they're okay to do. They're unclean. And they'll develop in an area of your life, and they'll start to take it over. And pretty soon, parts of your body drop off, as it were, as you become desensitized to the sins in your life. I tell you, music can be like that.
Yeah, right.
You start listening to the music because you like the rhythm and the beat, but you're not aware that you're listening to some poisonous thoughts and poisonous communications, evil communications, corrupt good manners. And silently and quietly, that sin of leprosy is eating away at your extremities, and you don't even know it. And we have to be aware of that, so that we must withdraw ourselves from those presences. And then we realize, too, that leprosy is fatal. It's hopeless. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And these men were out there in the garbage dump. They didn't have any hope. There was never any thought, as these men sat out there outside the gate, that one day they could go to a doctor and be cured. You know, really, you may be here today, and you realize that you do not have any hope. You're going to die. You and I are going to die. But you see, the one thing about most people in this church building, be nice to think that all, are that when we die, we have, as this brother who ministers to the Jews says, we have the hope of eternal life because we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. But we are all going to die unless Jesus comes for the church, which could happen at any moment. That is a sentence that is placed upon every human being, because sin has entered this world, and so death by sin. And these lepers had no hope. It was fatal. And the wages of sin is death. And if you're here today, you are going to die because you are a sinner. I'm going to die because I'm a sinner. But by God's grace and His mercy showed to me on Calvary, when He paid for my sin, when he by His precious blood atoned and paid the price that no one else could pay because it was perfect, because I have placed myself upon Him, that I know I have the assurance that I am that I have eternal life. I have eternal life now.
Amen. Yes.
And so death is just a veil that I pass through. How about you, my friend?
That's right.
You will die. Yes. Just as leprosy spreads, and just as leprosy is fatal, so is sin.
Yes.
The wages of sin is death.
Yes.
And God cannot take you to heaven in your condition.
Yes.
Or heaven wouldn't be heaven. He cannot allow you to be in His perfect place. But He has made a provision for that, in that He shed His blood, and He bore the pain, and He bore the suffering, so that you might have eternal life. And so the lepers had to do something. They had no hope. There was nothing that they thought that they could do, but they said, "Why do we just sit here? Why do we just sit here and die? We go in the city, they're starving. If we sit here, we're going to die. Hey, we may as well see what's out there. Maybe they'll feed us. Maybe they'll show us a good time." And so out they went to where the soldiers were. And let's pick up the story there in 2 Kings chapter 7 and verse 7. "Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight," that is the kings that had come, the Syrian army, "and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carry thence silver and gold and remnant, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, carried thence also, went and hid it." So they were having a great time. They were finding more than what they could ever have imagined. And you know, in a very real sense, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's what He gives you.
Yeah.
He gives you eternal life, but He gives you a home in heaven, and He gives you the assurance of having more than you could ever have dreamed of down here on this earth.
That's right.
And these lepers had decided to go to where they left their hopeless estate, and they decided to go, and now they were enjoying the things that they could never have imagined, and that's what happens when you get saved. When you trust what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross, this is the gospel that we preach around the world. When a Muslim understands, when a Buddhist, when a Hindu, when a Jew understands that Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid their penalty, and when they believe, all of a sudden, they are heir to the throne of God. Joint heirs with Christ. What a glory. You know, one of the things I'm going to enjoy so much about heaven is I'm actually going to see converted Jews, converted Muslims, converted Hindus, and I see them here on earth sometimes. But won't it be wonderful to imagine the joy you're going to have when you go to heaven? But when you think of somebody who was raised in an anti-Christ environment, and they, by the grace of God and because of their faith, trusted in the shed blood on Calvary, and they're going to enjoy what they could never have believed that they would enjoy here on earth. And these lepers were doing that. They were having a great time. And the thought struck them. And here it is. They said one to another, verse 9, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace." You see, the people in the city were starving. They didn't know the army had fled.
Yep.
For all intents and purposes, their life continued day after day. All right, whose son are we going to put in the pot tomorrow? What kind of donkey doo-doo are we going to have to eat tomorrow?
That's
the life of the sinner. Oh, you can sugarcoat it, and you can go to Las Vegas and Los Angeles and go to rock concerts and you know, sniff cocaine up your nose and get high for a little while, but realistically, what do you have to look forward to? What is your life? It's a vapor.
Yeah.
And the wages of your sin is death.
Yeah.
But you know what? By trusting what our loving Savior did on the cross, He says, "I want to take you to a place you could never dream of. It's all yours. If you'll just believe in me, if you'll believe that I took your place and I took your sin, and you'll turn and repent to faith in Christ, you can have all that you could ever hope for and wish for." That's what the Scripture teaches us. Jesus said, "Come unto me, heavy you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, do you feel like today that you're heavy laden with sin? That there's no real solution to your sin? That you know you're going to have to die, and then you've got to take your chances with whatever happens after death? And according to the Bible, your chances aren't good.
That's right.
Because your chances have already been blown.
Right.
And there is a place called hell, and it is a place for sinners.
Right.
And you're going there.
Right.
"Come unto me," Jesus said.
Yes.
"You that are heavy laden." Heavy laden with what? Your sin.
Right.
Hey, it's a burden to you, and you know it.
Yes, yes.
Some of you who have recently come to Christ, you know what a burden your sin is. Maybe you're sitting there, and you know it's difficult. The burden that you carry, and then knowing that if you were to die, where you'd spend eternity. Why don't you come to Jesus Christ? Why don't you do what these lepers did, and come, and just experience what God has for you. Now, they didn't know it. I understand. There's some differences. But we do understand what Jesus Christ has done for us. He says, "Come." The woman at the well, when he met her need, and she realized what he was teaching her about how that she could have within her living water, the living water of salvation. She went back to her town and to her people. She said, "Come, come with me and see a man that told me everything that I'd ever done, that's given me peace, that's given me living water. Come see him."
Yes.
You know, that's what we need to be doing.
Right.
We need to be going to those that have not experienced that living water and that transformation. And then we need to be saying to them, "Come." And these lepers were enjoying. They were sitting at the table, feasting and overdoing it. And all of a sudden the thought struck them, they're still eating their dumb. They're still eating their kids. Why don't we take what we've got and tell them they can have it too?
Amen.
Folks, that's what a missionary is.
Amen.
That's what a missionary is. That's what a mission-minded church does.
Yes.
Realizes that we've been given far more than we ever deserve.
Yes.
Far more than we'll ever eat spiritually.
Yes.
Far more than we can ever imagine one day when we get to walk on those streets of glory.
Yes.
Without our sin nature. Won't that be wonderful? Why don't we share it with somebody else?
Amen.
Why don't we push away from that table and get out there and tell someone, come. Come experience what I've experienced. You might be Muslim. You might be Hindu. You might be Buddhist. You might be atheist. But you know, I found something. And it can change your life. I found somebody who loves you.
Right.
You know, the Muslim God doesn't love them, and they know it.
Right.
And I believe that could be said about the other religions, maybe not in so great a way. But we have a God who does love
yep.
us. He Amen. Proved his love to us.
Amen, that's right.
Come to him.
Amen. Yes, sir.
These lepers got far more than they could ever imagine. This is the day of good tidings. Let's finish that verse. We do not well. This is the day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. Could that be said of you? We live in a day of good tidings. Are we holding our peace? Oh, let that not be said of us as believers.
Yes, sir.
If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Now they were worried about mischief coming upon us. We just need to realize that we've been entrusted with the gospel. Mark 16:15, go and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what God wants us to do.
Yes.
I want you to consider with me the words of Jesus as I close in some of the verses, the urgency of his work. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. He said, I must be about my Father's business. He said, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities, for there too am I sent. He said, you must be born again.
Yes.
He said, the scriptures must be fulfilled. He says, I must rise again from the dead, John 20, verse 9. Then he also said, the gospel must first be published among these nations, among all nations. Therefore, we must work the works of him who sent us. Will you be willing to do that? This missions conference, that's what it's about. First of all, realizing that Jesus paid the price. That Jesus is willing to give you the same gift of salvation that he's given so many others. If you'll accept it, if you'll turn from your sin and believe him. And then secondly, if you have accepted that gift, like 90%+ of the people in here, hopefully you're not sitting like those lepers just feeding yourself without regard for that world out there that's starving for the truth that you found to be so delightful, so good. What is our responsibility to those people? It's just like these lepers who had all of a sudden went from being nobodies and degraded by society and heavily burdened with their sin and contagious and decay, and they found everything that they could have ever hoped for. That's happened to you and I when we trusted Christ as our Savior.
Yes.
Now what are we going to do about it?
Amen.
Who are we going to tell about it? Can we bring somebody else to know that joy of salvation?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for this story of these lepers, and I thank you that that's what you've asked us to do, to take this glorious gospel and take it to lost sinners around this world, even here at home. Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts this morning. If there's somebody here, they're burdened with a load of sin. Like a leper, their life is coming apart, and there's no joy, there's no hope. Oh, Lord, help them to realize that you died on the cross and rose again to bring hope, that there is hope of eternal life and hope of the joy of salvation in this life. I pray that someone may come to you today. And then, Lord, as we are here at this missions conference, that we might realize that you are asking us to take the gospel, the glorious gospel that we've experienced, and share it with others who are hungry. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, you...